Radio 4. And now, Saturday Night Theatre.
Nigel Anthony and Anna Cropper in Spongehenge by David Halliwell. It was the night of February the 10th, 1978, in the small humdrum village of Bailiff Bridge, not far from Brighouse in the county of West Yorkshire. Young Gavin Bagley was making his way home from the Punch Bowl public house, where he'd been having a few friendly pints with his mates and colleagues. He'd just turned into Coronation Terrace, where he lived in humble circumstances at number 41, when the concept that was to revolutionise the whole future of painting and the visual arts in general occurred to him. A concept at once extremely simple and extremely complex. A compelling discovery that was to establish his unquestionable genius throughout the old civilised world. Oh, if only I could think of something world-shaking. If only I could think of anything at all. But I can't. I can't think of anything even mildly different, mildly interesting. Here we go again. Home sweet home. Papa and Mama sitting reading their papers. Or looking at their papers. I don't think they read them. Pretending not to notice my entrance as usual. I just pretend I haven't noticed them sitting there. Straight through to the kitchen. Enter the hall on the other side. Take off my coat, hang it up. And return to the reading room. Sit down, pick up a paper, start looking at it. Pause, silence. All three sit very still like a tableau in a waxworks and pretend to be reading. Wait.
What time do you call this?
Ah, there it is.
What time do I call what?
This.
What?
You know very well.
It's 11 o'clock.
It is that.
So what?
So what?
So what?
It's no kind of time to be coming in.
I'll come in when I like.
You've been pubbing again.
Well, I've had a couple of pints.
I've given birth to a drunk.
You haven't.
Wasting your money.
Wasting your time.
It's my money and my time.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
Somebody else might have something to say about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'll pay my share of housekeeping.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's now to crow about.
I'm not crowing.
Don't talk to your mother like that.
We didn't bring you up to see you throwing your money away.
We did not.
You should be saving.
I work bloody hard.
Don't swear.
I work blooming hard. It's a blooming boring job and I feel like relaxing a bit at night.
What have you got to relax from?
I've just said.
Your work's not boring.
Oh, isn't it?
Of course it's not.
You don't know what boring work's like.
Of course I do.
You don't know you're bored.
Of course I do.
Of course you don't.
You've got a good job.
A very good job.
Lots of folk would be grateful to have your job.
They would that. It's very interesting.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
It's artistic, isn't it?
Artistic?
Yes.
It's not artistic.
Of course it is.
It's not.
You're in the art department at Prusa's, aren't you?
Art work department.
Well, that's what I said.
Art work has nothing to do with art.
Of course it has.
All I do is touch up photographs.
Well?
In photographs.
It's skilled.
Not very.
It's steady.
Not really.
Oh, aye, lad, you're lucky to be there.
Lucky?
Lucky to have a job.
Lucky to be doing what you want.
Lucky to be doing art.
I've told you, it's not art.
Of course it is.
It's no to do with art.
Don't tell us about art.
We know about art.
We know what art is.
No idea.
We've been around a lot longer than you, you know.
I learnt nothing.
I knew more than you do now before you were born.
You didn't.
Of course we did before we had you.
Art isn't dabbing blemishes out of photographs. Art is the expression by visual means of feelings, states of mind. To be an artist is to express something.
Hey, listen to him.
Don't be so daft.
What have you got to express?
I have nothing to express.
Have I? If only I knew.
I have.
Never.
You're not one of these well-bred young gentlemen from down south, you know.
What are you talking about?
Folk like us don't express anything.
Of course we don't.
We have to work.
Ah, we have that. You want to stop getting ideas above your station?
The station?
Yes.
We're living in upstairs, downstairs, you know.
There's nothing wrong with us.
There ain't.
There's nought to be ashamed of.
We haven't. There's nought wrong with good, solid hard work.
That's what you need a bit more of, my lad.
I want less of it.
We brought you up to be a credit to us.
Not a layabout.
Oh, like slaving at Prusa's, it's laying about.
It's not slaving.
It's what you wanted.
It's not.
When you left school.
We let you do it.
You'd have been far better off working at first.
It's weaving.
A lot more money there.
But no, you wanted art, so art did that to be.
I wanted to go to art school.
You did go to art school.
I didn't.
You did.
You did.
One evening a week.
There you are.
I'm not going to art school.
Well, what is it, if it ain't?
I wanted to go full time.
Oh, don't be silly.
You had to earn a living.
Who do you think we're going to pay for you?
I could have got a scholarship, a grant.
You'd never have got a grant.
Of course you wouldn't.
I might have done.
Don't be ridiculous.
You didn't let me try.
We weren't having you making a fool of yourself.
And us.
Aye, and us.
I wouldn't have made a fool of myself.
Of course you would.
Well, maybe I'm talented.
Don't be daft. You have to be well educated to be talented.
You have to bounce money.
You want to drop these big ideas.
You do. Now get it through your thick head. You're not talented.
How do you know?
Because we're your parents.
Because you're just the same as us.
Just very ordinary.
Just like we are.
I'm not like you.
Of course you are.
We know what you're like.
Who knows if we don't?
You bigger all about me.
Don't talk to your mother like that.
Oh, why shouldn't I?
Because we gave you life.
We brought you up.
Scraped and scraped.
Nobody asked you to.
Don't talk like that.
Where would you be if it wasn't for us?
I'd be the same as I'm now. Nowhere.
Don't be disgraceful.
Don't be ungrateful.
Oh, I've had enough of this.
Where are you going?
I'm going to bed.
Sit down.
No.
It's not time yet.
You haven't had your supper.
I don't want any.
Can't take a bit of home truth, can he?
No, he can't.
Oh, well, here I go. Another hand-tinting job. Another wedding photo. Black and white. Why couldn't they just have had a colour photo taken? But it's more arty to have one hand-tinted. A work of art to show their friends. The happy couple. Right pair of Yorkshire puddings. Oh, what do I start on? Grass. Yeah, it's a nice green for the grass. More attractive than pink for their faces. Wedded, eh? I wonder if I'll be getting wedded shortly. Sandra. I mean, she's a nice lass, but is she the one for me? I mean, if I were a successful painter, I could do better than her. If. I'm not even an unsuccessful painter. I don't really know how to become one. I just dream. I suppose I could go to night school. But I'm so bloody tired at night after a day here, worn down by boredom. And it's not just here at work. My whole existence in Brig House stifles me. I don't really fit in with anything or anyone I know round here. Why don't I go away? Oh, I don't know. I lack nerve. I lack application. I don't really know what I'd like to be. It's not always a painter. It can be anything. A great musician, a great brain surgeon, a great marine engineer. I make Walter Mitty look like James Bond. But I can't really see that out can be done about it. Oh, I'll just have to go on an arm, I suppose. Well, it's Saturday tomorrow. Sucker. Our team's playing Booth Town. I don't really enjoy playing, do I? No, I don't fit in. Only do it because I daren't say no. We're all good. It's new. We won. He drives as quick as any of us. Yeah, I don't know how he can drive. I don't, but he can. He's a genius, yes, he's a genius. Not me. Come on, sing.
It's lucky nobody got killed.
It is that.
Yeah.
You're very lucky.
You are that.
You see what comes from drinking?
You hadn't had a scratch.
Well, I had a bit more than that.
What more than that?
Well, I did have to have a blood transfusion.
We know that.
You don't have to tell us that.
Well, so it wasn't just a scratch?
Well, not much more.
They don't give transfusions for just a scratch.
Don't tell us about transfusions.
We know all about transfusions.
I weren't born yesterday.
Oh, you know all about transfusions, do you?
We do.
You ever had one?
Who are you talking to?
You.
I thought you were talking to me.
I'm talking to you.
You just said you were talking to me.
I'm talking to you both.
Then why don't you say so?
He doesn't even know who he's talking to.
I'm asking you both if you've ever had a transfusion.
Of course we have.
Of course we have.
When?
Well, your mother had one.
Don't tell him.
Well.
Why should you tell him?
Oh, well, you tell him then.
I don't want to tell him.
Oh, yeah, I remember. It was when you were in the infirmary for that cyst on your backside.
Don't use words like that.
How dare you to your mother?
Well, you were going to.
I was not.
Weren't you?
Of course I wasn't.
Where did you have a transfusion?
When he was in infirmary for observation.
There's no need to tell him that.
When he had them pains in his chest.
Why did you have to tell him?
You told him about me.
I didn't.
So, you've both had transfusions. What are your blood groups?
Blood what?
Blood groups.
Why should we tell you?
Aye.
Don't you know?
Of course we know.
Of course we do.
Then why not tell me?
Why should we?
We're not here to feed your whims.
I'll tell you mine.
We don't want to know.
No, we don't.
I'm blood group O.
Stop trying to be clever.
Aye, you won't succeed.
Clever thing is to realise. You aren't clever.
I'm not trying to be clever. I'm just saying what my blood group is.
Well, it's not to boast about.
I'm not boasting. I'm just showing you I know what my blood group is.
As if we care.
We aren't impressed.
Well, you don't seem to know what yours are.
Oh, you do?
We do.
Then what?
Mind your own business.
You don't know.
We do.
Then tell me.
Well.
Come on.
Well, I'm B, if you must know.
B.
Aye, and your dad's AB.
I could have told him.
What does it matter who told him?
You should have let me tell him.
They can't be my natural parents. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. There must be a mistake.
Are you sure about this?
Sure about what?
About your blood groups.
Of course we are.
You'll make mistakes.
I think you might have.
Don't be ridiculous.
Come in, Tallant.
I think you've made a mistake.
Get them cards with groups written on them.
You get them.
All right. I'll show you.
I will show you who's right.
They're right. He's AB and she's B. Oh, my God. The implications. I feel dizzy. The implications. You know what this means, don't you?
What do you mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
It means you can't be my blood parents.
What are you on about?
What are you on about?
It means you can't be my natural parents.
What's he talking about?
Don't ask me.
When I was in the infirmary, I talked to a doctor about blood groups. He told me that a child can't possibly have a factor in its blood that isn't present in blood groups of either of its parents.
Where'd you get that from?
Just told you, the infirmary.
Somebody were pulling your leg.
They felt like a bit of fun.
They saw him coming.
I told him a tally diddle.
He'll believe out.
Well, what should a doctor make it up?
Couldn't even pass as 11 plus, and now he's an expert on medicinal matters.
It's a fact. You can't be my blood parent.
Oh, it's a fact, is it?
It is.
How can it be a fact?
Use your head, lad.
Use your head.
If we weren't your parents, you wouldn't look like us, would you?
Oh, no, they're right. I wouldn't. Oh, maybe that doctor was wrong. Maybe I misunderstood him.
He can't answer that.
No, he can't.
No, I can't.
He's not as smart as he thinks.
I hope this is a lesson to him.
Wait a minute. Do I look like you?
Of course you do.
You look like your father.
You look like your mother.
What a daft question.
No, come on. Let's have a look at the mirror together.
Don't be ridiculous.
Have you ever heard out like it?
We've no time for gormless experimentation.
No, come on.
You look like us. Be told. There's an end to it.
Aye.
What about supper, ma'am?
What do you want?
Have we any of that malt bread left?
You're scared.
Aye. Tea or cocoa?
You daren't compare our faces in mirror.
Cocoa.
You daren't.
Of course we dare.
Come on.
No.
It won't take long.
Stop it!
Come on, show me I'm wrong and I'll admit it.
Well...
I'll never mention it again.
Well...
Come on.
Oh, all right. Come on, let's get it over with.
Oh, all right.
There. You see?
What do I see?
You've got an head shape like mine.
Have I? Is it same shape? Maybe it is.
And a nose, same as mine.
Is it the same? Is it? It looks very much like it.
My eyes.
His eyes.
My mouth.
Her mouth, yeah. No, not her mouth.
My chin.
My mouth is completely different from hers. Of course it is. Look at it. Look at mine. Look at his head. Look at mine. They're not the same. Not at all. Look at her nose. Nothing like. And his eyes are a different shade. Almost a different colour to mine. No, none of these things are the same.
You see, we're wasting us time. He won't admit he's wrong.
No, he'll even deny it's evidence of his own eyes.
I'm not wrong. Christmas. Why, haven't I seen it before? I thought I looked like you because I thought I were your blood son. The power of auto-suggestion. But now I can see you clearly for the first time. There's no family resemblance whatsoever.
Oh, I've had enough of your nonsense.
So have I.
You're not my blood mother.
Of course I am.
Of course she is.
You're not my real mother, are
yes.
you? You're not. Come on.
I am.
You're not, are you?
Oh, stop this.
I...
You're not. Come on.
I am.
You're not.
Well...
Are you?
Oh...
Are you?
No!
Hey?
No! Now you're satisfied. No, no!
Oh, you've told
I
him.
I had to.
Why?
I've had enough.
You're not my real parents.
All right. What does it matter?
Well, are my parents?
How should we know?
You're adopted. Adopted. We kept it from you for your own good.
Adopted?
Yes.
From who?
We've no idea.
But you must have. You must. How did it come about?
Well, we couldn't have any children of us own.
Your father couldn't. So we went to an adoption home. They showed us you. We never met whoever had you. They don't tell you who it was. So, we decided to adopt you.
It was all legal.
Well, what adoption home?
Oh, we don't know. It's so long since.
Well, what's it called?
Fairhaven.
Where is it?
Bradford. But it's gone.
It's defunct.
Are you sure?
Aye. Well, since you're so good at finding stuff out, why don't you check up on it?
How old was I when you adopted me?
3 months. They told us your birthday.
3 months. So maybe for 3 months I'd lived with me real parents.
No, you hadn't.
You'd been in Thorn for 3 months.
Your real parents.
There's no way you can find out who they were.
I'll find out.
What do you want to find out?
Turn out to you.
They're everything.
We're your real parents.
Aye, it doesn't matter who actually gave birth to you.
Of course it doesn't. We brought you up. We lavished everything on you.
It doesn't matter to us. You're not the same flesh and blood, and it shouldn't matter to you.
It's the spirit of thing that counts. You're our son, and you always will be.
You're our son, and you always will be.
No. I'm not your son. I never was and I never will be. What a revelation. What a liberation. No wonder I never felt at home. No wonder I never fitted in. No wonder I don't fit in anywhere. No wonder I don't know what I really want. No wonder I don't know who I am. I mean, a person is produced by the coming together of the genes of mother and father. It's their mixture which produces new person. Your identity is what you get from those genes. They provide your abilities, your potentialities. They provide, in essence, what you become.
Oh, I know that that potentiality can be modified to some extent by your environment and your experiences, but only to a very limited degree. No, it's your genes which provide your essential core, your essential being, your essential identity. But if you're brought up in a completely alien environment like I've been, cut off from any knowledge of your real origins, then you live a conditioned lie. And you remain blinded, deaf and numb to real identity, to real abilities, potentialities and needs within you. Ah, I've been living a masquerade with those two people in Bailiff Bridge. Yes, I've got to discover what my real heritage is, what hidden flares I've got, what hidden possibilities. And I'll know what I can become and therefore what I want. To do that, I've got to discover my real parents, yes. They could be anybody, couldn't they? Aye, they could. Anybody at all.
Sie ist der Herr der Reich, wieder in den Völkerbund einzutreten.
The ladies not for turning.
Blue skies, a smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies.
The force that through the green fuse drives the flower drives my green age.
Well, sure. You can light my cigarette if you're of a mind to.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, would you like to hear how the Diddy Men came to make their first record?
Promise me you'll go right up to sleep because Daddy has got to go out on some very important business.
But Dad didn't read me.
Look there's the time holder. When he knocks some his off stick out.
And then, comrades, there is our old friend... Equal pay.
Anybody? Yeah. The horizons are unlimited. Of course, that works both ways, yes. I'm thinking upwards, but what about downwards? Aye. My father might be a tramp or a dustbin man. My mother might be a prostitute or a charlady. My real parents might be even more humdrum than my false parents. Yes, yes. I've got to face that possibility, yes. Oh, I don't know, though. I mean, it's possible. But somehow I think they've got to be more special. I mean, I've always thought there was something special about me, and that feeling must come from somebody special. Yes, and I can hope to find special affection from them too, yes. I can love them and they can love me. That's very important, emotional security. Oh, yes, someone I've never had from Bagley's. Yes, I've got to find out who those special people are, yes. Or were. Yes, it could be were. They could be dead. Well, dead or not, I must find out. Oh, where will I begin? That birth certificate my false parents have with their names on there must have been issued by some adoption place or somebody. Yeah, I've got to see me real birth certificate. And where will I find it? I'll ask Citizens Advice Bureau. Oh, there's a document attached to the certificate. Owing to the unusual circumstances of this child's admission to the home, it's been thought suitable to... penned a short notice. The child named John Jackson entered the home as an abandoned child. None of the regular procedures for admission were complied with. Although James and Jean Jackson are named on the certificate as parents, neither of them was ever found, even though an extensive search was undertaken. The child was brought to the home by a man calling himself A. Appleyard, who refused to provide any further information to that contained on the certificate. It was these circumstances which persuaded the relevant authorities to allow the child to be adopted 3 months after its arrival. Will I ever find A. Appleyard? Was there ever an A. Appleyard? Oh, I'm beginning to think it's hopeless.
Pardon, mild, please.
Mild.
Hi. I don't suppose you know anything about the houses across the street.
Across the street?
Hi.
There aren't any houses across the street.
There used to be, but they've been pulled down.
Sorry, I can't help you. I've only been here 2 years. At 34 pence, please.
Oh, yeah.
Far.
Hi, young man.
Eh?
I remember them houses.
Do you?
Ah, you remember them, won't you, Mrs. Warrington?
I do that.
She lived round here all her life.
Haven't you?
Aye, I've been coming in this pub for 30-odd years.
You've worn a depression in that corner seat.
I've worn a depression in every seat in place. And worked off a few depressions and all.
Do you remember number 18?
Aye, lad.
Do you remember a man called Appleyard who used to live there?
Albert Appleyard.
Well, yes, I suppose it could be Albert.
It was Albert.
Yes, I'm not doubting it. Did you know him well?
Not all that well to not to. To speak to on the street, no more than that.
Well, could you tell me if he was living in number 18 in 1940?
Oh, aye, he would be. He lived in that house as far back as I can remember.
Was he married?
Aye, his wife's name was Hilda.
Did they have any children?
Not as I ever knew about.
Well, might they have had a child and had it adopted?
Nay, I shouldn't think so. Not that I ever heard tell about.
Oh, I see. But they could have had.
Why are you so interested?
Shall I tell them? Oh, why not? I think they may have had a child adopted.
Oh, yeah.
Aye, and I think I might be that child.
Hey.
You think this fellow were your father?
Well, he might have been.
Well, I never.
What sort of a man was Appleyard? I mean, what did he do?
Nay, I don't know what he did. Nobody seemed to know how he earned his living. Folks sometimes used to think he might be a bit on shady side.
A crook?
Oh, I couldn't tell you, but he always had plenty of brass.
I see.
Aye, dressed well, a bit flashy, but a nice enough fella to talk to.
Aye. Have you any idea where he is now?
Now? Oh. Nay, lad, he retired, it must be 15 years ago. Couple of years after he'd gone, they pulled his house down.
They pull too much stuff down now, if you ask me.
You've no idea where he went?
No, lad.
You never talked to him about his retirement?
Well, I might have done in passing on the street. I probably did.
But you can't remember out about it?
Hey, it's a long time ago, lad.
Oh, yes, I know that. But, I mean, might he have said where he was going?
Well, he might have.
But you can't remember what it was?
Hey, no, I can't put light in me.
Well, I mean, what sort of a place do you think he might have retired to?
Hey, you've got me, lad.
I mean, was it somewhere else in Bradford?
No, it wasn't in Bradford. I'm sure it wasn't that. I'd have remembered that.
Well, did he go to live in country?
Oh, I don't think so. Doesn't sound like him somehow.
What about seaside?
That sounds more like it.
Seaside?
Aye. Come to think of it, I do remember him saying something about seaside.
A seaside town?
Aye.
In Yorkshire?
No. I'd have remembered it if it had been. No, it was somewhere unfamiliar like.
Unfamiliar?
Aye. Oh, it's coming back a bit. Somewhere with a name like a lot of other names.
Other names?
Aye, that's why I've forgotten it.
If we mention a few names, might you remember?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, let's try. Blackpool.
No, I'd remember that.
Skegness?
No.
Grimsby?
No, more south.
Oh, south?
Aye.
Eastbourne?
No.
Folkestone?
Nay.
Bognor?
Never.
Weymouth? Was it Weymouth?
Weymouth.
Was it Weymouth, Mrs. Wallington?
Weymouth.
Was it?
No.
Oh, I thought we got somewhere then, so did I.
But it was somewhere like Weymouth.
What do you mean?
Well, it was one of them muffs.
Muffs?
Aye, they're no.
Well, Plymouth, Dartmouth.
Oh, them.
Aye, them.
But which one was it?
Oh, lad, that's why I can't recall it. There's so many.
Too many, if you ask me.
Well, what about Falmouth, Portsmouth, Bournemouth?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I mean, didn't Appleyard ever say out about this place?
I suppose he might have.
I mean, did he ever mention some distinguishing feature?
I don't know.
Like a river?
No.
A beach?
A building?
A field?
No. But he did say it were near somewhere.
Near somewhere?
Aye.
Well, near what?
Well, I don't know.
Another town?
No, not another town.
A lake?
No.
Sea?
No, she's already said it were by sea.
Sorry.
A wood?
I can't.
A bay?
No.
An inlet?
A
peninsula?
A what?
Oh, you know, a piece of land which juts out into the sea.
A point.
Ah, thanks, a point.
A point?
Yeah.
That rings a bell.
It was near a point.
Aye, he said it was near some sort of point or other.
A point?
Aye, a point.
Wait, what point?
Well, now, let me see. Something to do with an animal.
An animal?
Aye, you know, like with a name like an animal.
A name like an animal?
That's right.
Well, what, dog?
No, not a dog.
Horse?
No.
Pig?
No.
Lion?
No.
Armadillo.
No, not like that. Smaller.
With my mouse?
No. More something damp.
Damp?
Something more damp.
Damp?
Why, like something out of a dam.
A fish?
Oh, no, not as damp as that.
Oh, well, a frog?
No.
A newt?
No.
A toad?
Oh, wait a jiff. Like that?
Like a toad?
No, what Ted said.
Newt.
Aye, a newt.
Was that it? Newt Point?
I think I've heard of a newt point.
Nay, not a newt.
Not a newt.
But someone like a newt.
Well, what's like a newt?
There's no like a newt.
Well, there must be.
An eel.
I don't think there is.
An eel?
No.
That's no like a newt.
It is.
It's a bit like a newt.
There you are.
But not much.
A terrapin.
No.
Well, that's not like a newt.
It is very similar.
No.
If I had a newt and a terrapin side by side on this bar, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
We would.
It wasn't a terrapin.
Well, a worm, a lizard.
Aye, that sounds right.
The lizard.
Aye.
Lizard Point.
That sounds right.
Lizard Point. It's in Cornwall.
Aye, it is near Falmouth.
Falmouth.
You think Appleyard went to Falmouth?
Aye, Falmouth. I think that's it.
Aye, it sounds like Falmouth to me.
Falmouth. Let me go through again what I'm going to do when I get to Falmouth. I'm going to go through the register of voters and ratepayers, but I'm also going to go round all the estate agents in town and see what Appleyards have had dealing with these past 15 years. Well, it's not going to be... Hey!
What's that?
Ah, Stonehenge.
Ah, yes.
Stonehenge? Is that Stonehenge? I didn't realise we went past it. I didn't realise it was so near a main road. Well, it doesn't look as big as I thought it'd be.
I wonder who actually built it.
That's anybody's guess.
Really?
It's probably pre-Celtic.
Pre-Celtic? As early as that?
Well, it could be. Of course, anybody can claim their ancestors did it.
Really?
Well, anybody whose ancestors have been in these islands a couple of hundred years.
I don't quite follow.
And they can claim the blood of its builders runs in their veins.
Can they?
Yeah, well, one can make out a good case for it.
Can one?
Yeah. Well, the old notion was that each wave of invaders drove out the previous lot.
That's what I thought.
Well, it can be argued, what's more likely, is each wave mingled, interbred with a wave already here.
Ah, I see.
Celt with pre-Celt, Saxon with Celt, Norn with Saxon, Huguenot with English. You get the picture?
I get the picture.
So, I can say my ancestors built Stonehenge.
And so can I.
And so can you.
But not presumably someone from Pakistan.
Well, he would a couple of hundred years.
I suppose so.
Interesting. I suppose so. But my concern with ancestors at the moment only goes back one generation. Falmouth, there I come. Come on, run, run, run. At last, after days, and Albert Appleyard, Gillingvase Road. Come on, run, run, run there. He might be my father, he could be my father, he's likely to be my father. I'm going to make me real father.
In June 1949, I were working as a maintenance man at Old Central Hotel in Bradford. One evening, I'm told to go up to room 28 to fix a radiator. When I get there, I find it's occupied by a woman of about 35 years old with a new baby. As I'm attending to the radiator, she strikes up a conversation and then makes a proposition. She says baby's hers, but it's illegitimate. She shows me a birth certificate and says names on it are false. She wants me to put baby into an adoption home for her. She has money and she'll give me £200. I think over what she says and I decide to do it. And the next afternoon, I nip into a hotel by a back way and she gives me money and the certificate. She says, hand over it, baby, with certificate, but on no account answer any questions. And then she puts baby in me arms. I pause. I think she might want to kiss it goodbye or take a last look. But she's staring at the door. So without another word, I leave and drive across Bradford to Fairhaven home. I go in and there's nobody about. I'm just about to put baby down on a bench and hurry away when a woman pops up from nowhere. I thrust baby into her arms and start to leave when she snaps, what is your name? You know, just like that, just like a schoolmistress. What is your name? And I react just as I would have done at school, you know, a reflex action. I blurt out, hey, Appleyard. But I no sooner blurt it out than I realise me error and I scoot. I'm off before she can ask me out else. And that, lad, is how you got into Fairhaven home.
Yes.
Well, that's it.
Woman in hotel. Well, me mother.
Aye.
How did she speak? I mean, what did she speak like?
Oh, middle class.
Middle class?
Maybe more than that, upper middle class.
But Yorkshire?
Aye, I'd say so.
What did she look like?
Oh, average height, nice rounded build, quite handsome, really.
Do I look out like her?
Oh, I don't know, lad, it's so long ago.
You don't remember her face, clearly.
Well, I did for a while, but it's gone now.
And you never saw her again?
Ah, now, I was going to come to that. I think I did.
Where?
To Telegraph and Argus.
Paper?
Aye. It was several years later. I can't remember how many now, but there were this photo of a rather posh wedding, you know, bride, groom, parents, that sort of thing. And there, unless I were much mistaken, what woman had seen in the hotel. She was mother of bride.
Was there any indication of her name?
Aye, there was. It said she was Mrs. Pelling of Celandine House, Uppergill.
Uppergill? That's in Dales.
Aye, about 20 miles north of Bradford.
Are you sure of those names?
Aye, I've forgotten in essentials, but them names I'm sure of. Mrs. Pelling, Celandine House.
Um,
I have reason to believe that I am your son.
I beg your pardon.
I said, I have reason to believe that I am your son.
My son?
Yes.
Is this a joke?
No.
I don't have a son.
Oh, no.
I have three daughters, that is all.
You never had a son?
I certainly did not.
Of course she denies it to begin with. Of course she gives nothing away. It's only to be expected. Just keep on at her. Break her down. Look for telltale signs.
Well, I say you did.
This is preposterous. Who are you?
I've already told you.
What are you doing here?
I have reason to believe I am the child you gave away nearly 30 years ago.
What are you talking about?
The baby you gave away.
I never gave any baby away.
You had an illegitimate child.
How dare you?
You took it to Bradford.
How dare you?
You gave it to a man in a hotel.
How dare you? Get out of my house.
Could I have made a mistake? No, she's still bluffing. Keep on, she'll give herself away. I've met the man.
Get out.
His name is Appleyard. He told me all about it.
Get out.
He paid him £200 to take me to an home. He did that. I was adopted. Years later, he saw your picture in the paper with your name. I tracked him down. He told me where you lived. I'm not mad. I'm not here to cause trouble. I'm looking for my real mother.
A man meets a woman in a hotel, and then years later, he sees a picture of me in a newspaper. That does not prove that I'm the woman he met in the hotel.
She's right. It doesn't.
I'm afraid your informant was mistaken. He mistook a picture of me for someone else.
Yeah, there's no necessary connection whatsoever. Even Appleyard said he might have been mistaken. Oh, this is a dead end.
I hope you find the right person.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so disappointed. But am I sure this woman's telling the truth? Yes, I think so. Yeah, but whilst I'm still here, I could have one last go. A sort of bluff. I've nought to lose.
You're absolutely sure you aren't the right person?
Well, of course I am.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Now, look here.
You'd have every reason to lie to me.
I've been very patient with
After all, if you gave me away...
I think you had better leave.
You're all flesh and blood.
I'm asking you to leave.
Just to save family name.
I'm telling you to leave.
You'd be as hard and callous now as you were then.
I don't have to listen to this.
I don't seem to be getting anywhere. Appleyard told me.
I could call the police.
How hard you were. You dumped your own new baby.
I shall call the police.
Not getting anywhere. And when you handed me to him to take away, there wasn't a flicker of affection. I might as well have been a sack of potatoes. You're never going to see me again. You didn't even look at me. Never mind. Kiss me goodbye.
It wasn't like that. I was the woman in the hotel room. But I'm not your mother. I'm your grandmother. In the summer of 1948, some mill boys from Bradford came hiking through this village, and my husband gave them permission to camp in a field which belonged to him. They remained in the field for several days, and quite without my or my husband's knowledge, Karen paid them several visits. She was only 16 at the time, and she developed a crush on one of the boys, who was only 17 himself. I'm not blaming the boy. He was young and inexperienced. But he seduced my daughter in such a clumsy and brutal manner that instead of cementing the relationship, it brought it to an abrupt end. A few weeks after the boy's departure, Karen discovered that she was pregnant. She tried to hide it for as long as she could, but the time came when she had to tell me about it. Naturally, I was shocked, but I quickly realized something had to be done, and I pulled myself together. It was too late for an abortion, and Karen had neither the desire nor the ability to bring up a child. She stopped attending school, was kept indoors, and everyone was told that she was suffering from acute anemia. When the time came, I delivered the child myself. This wasn't as remarkable as it may sound, because I was in the Women's Royal Army Medical Corps during the war, and I'd had some experience delivering babies. The child was born and immediately removed from Karen's presence. I told both Karen and my husband that the baby had been stillborn and that I would bury the body in the grounds where nobody would ever find it. But in reality, I took the baby to the Central Hotel in Bradford. The rest is as Appleyard told you, although, of course, I didn't know his name was Appleyard, except for my emotions, which he could know nothing about. I had to maintain a facade of stony callousness, but inside I was consumed by pity and shame. When I placed you in Appleyard's arms, I did not look at you because I could not. I could not bear to look at you. As it was, I felt a terrible wrench inside myself when he carried you away from me and closed the door. I've been plagued by doubts about it ever since. I feel ashamed. Then I feel justified. Your arrival here has only intensified these conflicting feelings. If you were to say that a grave injustice had been inflicted on you, I would not disagree. But on the other hand, if I'd not given you away, and you'd stayed with us in some sort of hidden, disguised manner, then your life might have been quite unbearable. What happened, happened. And now I have given you an account of it. It is for you to weigh up my account and see whether you can come to some idea of balance.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm... what to feel. What... I mean, there's so much. My parents, then, are your daughter, Karen, and this boy. Well, he'll be a man now, this man.
Yes.
And have you got...
Yes, I can tell you where they are.
Oh, yeah, I'd like that.
Of course I know where my daughter is, but I've kept track of the young man, too. You might say it was a form of insurance against some possible time when the baby I disposed of so many years ago might somehow appear, as you have done, and point an accusatory finger at me. I did not want to add to my guilt by keeping the child from knowing where its parents were if that time came.
Oh, no. Look, I'm not accusing you. I mean, you did what you thought was... I don't want to get involved in recriminations. I want to know where I can find my parents.
Well, I suppose that's very gracious of you. Your mother, my daughter, Karen, is now called Karen Mason. Mason is the name of the man she married, the man in the wedding photo. Karen is now separated from him, but she still uses the surname. And together with a partner called Madeline, she runs a small bakery in Buttershaw, a suburb of Bradford.
And my father?
His name's Wilfred Clapcott, and he... What's the matter? You look dumbfounded.
But I know a Wilfred Clapcott.
Do you?
Yes.
And what does he do?
Well, he works at a place called Pruce's in Brighouse. He's a shop steward there.
Well, then you've met your father.
Hey?
He is your father.
Him? That bloke at Bruce's? Oh, I can't believe it.
I can assure you that he is the same person who came to this village 30 years ago.
But him? I mean...
Do you know him well?
Well, not well at all. I hardly know him at all. I've just consulted him over union matters, that's all. It's just the point that I've met him and I didn't know. It's that staggers me.
Life plays strange tricks.
Maybe.
Wilfred Clapcott lives in Siddal.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's part of Halifax.
Mm, yes.
Your daughter, my mother, she still thinks I died at birth.
Yes. And Clapcott doesn't know that you were ever born.
Then I'm going to have to tell them.
No, I'll tell them. It's part of my obligation towards you. I shall go and see my daughter, and I shall write to Mr. Clapcott.
And then what happens?
We'll see what their response is. You can stay here. My husband died 10 years ago. I'm alone in the house, except for a servant.
My mother, blonde, hair tied back, round face, rounded generally, shapely. Does she look pleasant? Does she look intelligent? Is the way she dresses unusual? Is she unusual? Am I disappointed? Daughter of a wealthy family, owner of a bakery? No, I can't say I am. Do I look like her? Does she look like me? Well, the eyes, maybe the eyes. Oh, what do I feel? I don't know. Will she want me? Oh, I hope so. Will I love her? Oh, I hope so. Is she relaxed?
Does it look anything like me? It's difficult to tell. Perhaps sort of in the set of the body. I don't know. Does it look bright? Does it look well disposed? Does it look intense? Does it look anything like the father? Oh, I can't remember. What about me? Is he like? Sort of about the eyes? No, I don't really think so. How do I sort of feel? Well, I'm not sure.
My father, Wilfred Clapcott. Does he look any different now I know he's my father? Oh, I don't know. I never really looked at him before. He's lean, dark, bony. Is there anything of me about him? A shape of face, perhaps? Does he look dull, smart, sensitive? Is he just a union cog? Am I disappointed? I don't know. Well, at least he's active in union. He must have some beliefs. That's a damn sight better than old Bagley. Will he like me? Will he love me? Shall I feel that way about him? Oh, I hope so. Well, I'll just have to see.
Now that I know what I know, can I see aught of me in him? This is, though, it's the first time I've ever really looked at him. I didn't realise his hair were that colour. Well, is there any resemblance? Not about the head. His build, maybe. Does he look as though he's got out about him? I had a vague idea of Bruce's that you were a bit half-baked, but it was no more than an impression. How do I feel? I don't know. A bit unreal.
Is this that boy? I mean, that boy in the field? I mean, in the summer all those years ago?
No, she's no connection with that lass.
I'm sorry, but I just don't...
Well, I don't. I can't recognise you either.
30 years.
A lifetime.
Well, I don't suppose it matters. I mean, after all this time, but I regret it.
Well, I could say that, too.
I suppose so.
But it's not a question, you know. There's no question of blame.
No, I agree, but I sort of feel, you know, I sort of feel...
Well, maybe so do I, but I mean,
Yes.
Of course, I never knew.
Of course not.
I mean, after I left, I never heard.
I know.
Although, well, I did send you a letter.
I remember.
You got it?
Oh, yes, but I was away at school when it arrived, and I didn't get it until a couple of months had gone by, and, well, it seemed too late to reply by then.
I thought you'd, well, ignored it.
No, I didn't, but I'm sorry if you...
Oh, it's all so long ago.
Yes.
I was 17.
I was just 16.
We were bairns.
We were.
We didn't know what...
Well, we did what we did.
Aye.
Yes.
Well, now, this young man...
Yes.
Would you say we had any responsibility towards him?
Yes, I suppose so.
Your mother...
Well, my mother is letting him stay here, and she's going to make some financial provision for him.
Oh, yes, so we don't need to discuss that.
No, what we have to consider is what sort of responsibility in a more personal sense.
In the sense like he wants to get to know us?
Yes.
Well, I'll go along with that. I think there is some sort of responsibility.
In practical terms, it'll mean sort of letting him come and live with us.
Taking it in turn?
Yes, I mean, I've talked it over with my partner, and she's agreeable.
Well, I've had a word with my wife, my family. There doesn't seem to be a problem.
Well, then, who's going to kind of have him first?
I'm not bothered.
Well, shall I have him first, if you like?
All right, how long is he going to come for?
2 months.
2 months.
Is that too short, too long?
Oh, no, it's all right. So, 2 months with you.
And then to you for 2 months.
Right.
He thinks that in some way we can help him to find out what he sort of wants to do in life.
Find out who he is?
Yes. Do you think we can help him to find out who he is?
Maybe.
Yes, maybe we can.
Tomorrow. Can't wait. Going to stay with Karen, to stay with my mother. She's a baker. Perhaps I'll turn out to be a wonderful baker. Well, I suppose I shall. A master baker. I like the sound of it. I like the smell of it. Bread. Oh, I hope my mother's going to love me and me. Oh, yes, I do. What's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter? I try and try at baking, but I never seem to get any better. But I must have an aptitude for baking. I must. I must have inherited it from my mother. But why doesn't it show? Why? Well, it's been overlaid by decades of non-use. Yes, that's it. It'll come with practice. Yeah, we practice. It'll come with time.
Gav.
In the old days, I'd have been in on a few pints down at this time, and oh, damn it, there I go again. There my thoughts go again. I can't keep my mind on meditation, on Gav. But my mother's a mystic. She's religious. I must have a talent for this sort of thing. Come on, keep going, keep gavving. Gav.
Karen, have a word.
Well, of course, Madeline.
As your partner, your friend.
Well, of course.
Gavin. I'm sorry, he shouldn't be in the bakery. Been here nearly 2 months, he's useless, a hindrance. Hasn't improved, never will, no aptitude. Doesn't like the work.
He says he likes...
Pretending. Notice his expressions. Yes, giveaway. He thinks he has to be like you.
Yes, well, but perhaps...
Nothing like you, nothing like me. Doesn't share our spiritual values. He should go.
Well, he will be going to stay with his father shortly.
Shouldn't come back.
That sounds rather harsh.
I'm sorry, got to say it.
Yes, of course, my dear. I want to know how you feel, and I mean, the way you feel is very important to me, but at the same time, I still sort of feel I have a sort of responsibility towards Gavin.
I understand, but he could visit, live elsewhere.
Yes, well, maybe, but I think I'd better sort of talk to him before we come to any sort of decision. Gavin, are you really sort of sure that you really like the life here and the work?
Oh, yes. Of course I am.
Am I?
Well, I think it's time that I told you more about myself. But where shall I begin? Well, when Wilfred came to Uppica, we had sexual intercourse, and it was sort of quite pleasant. And I would have been willing to have had it again with Wilfred, but he seemed to be quite sort of upset afterwards and left the village. Well, I expected to hear from him again, but when weeks elapsed, I felt he'd lost interest in me, and I began to forget about him until I discovered that I was pregnant. Well, when I was fully recovered from the birth, my mother sent me to a sort of finishing school for wealthy young ladies, and then when I returned to Uppergill, I started to go out with eligible young men, and in due course, I married a wealthy young solicitor called Rupert Mason and moved into a large house on the edge of Halifax. The marriage was quite successful. Our sex life was satisfactory. We had a wise social life. And I suppose I felt quite contented. Well, that was the situation in 1968 when something rather remarkable happened. It was the afternoon of a day in June, a very ordinary afternoon, and I was in the house on my own in the kitchen in the process of making some bread. I mean, I'd always rather enjoyed baking as a sort of hobby, and I'd just prepared some dough for rising, and it was on the table in front of me in a baking tin. I just put a cloth over the tin when I glanced up at the kitchen clock on the wall and saw it said 2:40, and then I glanced back at the table and there was bread in the tin, fully baked. I mean, I simply looked up at the clock and then back again. A matter of less than 5 seconds and there was the dough, transformed in a trice into a fully baked loaf. Well, I couldn't believe it. I thought there must be something wrong with the clock. I glanced back at it, but it just said a few seconds after 2:40, so I checked with the phone and the radio and with a neighbour, and they all confirmed that there was nothing wrong with the clock. It was keeping perfect time. And so I examined the bread, but there was nothing unusual about it. It was in exactly the same tin, in exactly the same position that the dough had been in. Well, I thought, how on earth can this come about? Might I have baked the loaf myself in a sort of blackout? But there hadn't been enough time, and I thought perhaps I'd been tricked in some sort of way. But a trickster would have had no more time than I'd had. So, turn it round, however I might, there was no other conclusion possible except that the bread must have been baked by some non-human agency. Had to be a sign of revelation, a message. And after a lot of thought, it occurred to me that if he had baked the bread for me, then I must bake the bread for him. Yes, but baking bread for him meant baking bread for other people. And this should become my vocation. And I came to see that my vocation was my identity, my soul, my essence. So, you see, I believe that God, and only God, gives a person their true identity, and it's given to the person before they're born, before they're conceived even, and one's identity has nothing to do with environment or heredity. I mean, my revelation proves that, because there could be no external natural explanation of what happened. And as for heredity, not only had I never had any sort of mystical illumination before or anything remotely of that sort, but there's no trace of anything like it happening to my parents, my grandparents, or any of my relatives. And so what happened to me can only have been a divine revelation, and a divine revelation of who I really am and what I must do.
What can I reply to all that?
There's nothing he can say.
I can't accept that.
Nothing he can say.
Can't accept that.
Nothing he can say that will affect me in the slightest.
Well, I can't agree with what you say about heredity.
Can't you?
No, I can't.
Why can't you?
Well, I mean, you and me, I've obviously inherited a lot from you.
For example?
Well, I mean, a great many things.
What?
Give me an example.
Well,
what?
Can't you think of anything?
What? What? In the bakery.
As a baker?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Mistake to cite that.
Oh, come on, Gavin. I don't think you can honestly say you've inherited any skill as a baker from me.
Well, given time, I'll,
You've been here nearly 2 months.
Well, what's 2 months?
We've had girls and boys here in the past to help us out who've learnt more in 2 hours than you've learnt in 2 months.
Better get off that. What else can I say? Spiritual attitudes.
Well, what about my spiritual attitude?
What spiritual attitudes?
Well, you know, meditation.
Do you find it easy to meditate?
Yeah. You know, not bad.
Honestly?
Yeah.
I don't think I really believe you.
But, I mean, you can't know you're not there when I do it.
No, but somehow I feel you're not much good at it.
Well,
Are you?
Well, what about being a vegetarian?
What about it?
Well, I took to your diet very well. Vegetables and rice. Yes, I rapidly got accustomed to that. I soon came to enjoy that.
Millions of people all over the world enjoy vegetarian food, and in no way are they descended from me.
Well, I don't know about that as an argument.
I do. She's right.
Damn! What else can I cite?
Well, what are you going to argue next? That you too have had a revelation.
A revelation? How am I going to get around that? How could that be explained in non-mystical terms? I've got to think of an alternative explanation for that before I can bother my head about how it might be inherited.
That silenced him.
Maybe she did have a revelation.
He can't answer that.
She could be lying.
There isn't any answer.
Nay, I don't think she's lying. She believes it, I can tell.
There isn't any answer.
So what could it have been? A state of mind? Yes, some sort of trance. Yes, I'm beginning to see that.
Your revelation, yes.
My revelation?
Let's talk about your revelation.
By all means. There's nothing he can say.
I mean, let's talk about this thing, you know, that happened in your kitchen.
Fine.
I think that what happened was psychological.
Psychological?
A state of mind, something to do with the configuration of your brain cells.
That just isn't possible.
You were alone in the house?
Yes.
What time did your husband leave for work?
About 9.
9 o'clock?
Yes.
And then what did you do?
Washed the breakfast things, went for a walk in the park, made myself a lunchtime snack, prepared the dough, put it into the tin to rise, and put a cloth over it.
You then looked at the clock?
Yes.
Which said?
2:40.
Yes, well, I think you did all the things you think you did between 9 and 20 to 3, between 9 and 20 to 12.
I don't understand.
At some point between 9 and 22:12, you looked at the clock and unconsciously misread the time. Let's say if the clock said 10:30, you read it as 1:30. So, when you looked up at the clock at what was really 20:12, in keeping with your previous misreading, you read 20:03. As soon as you'd read the wrong time, you went into a trance, during which you baked the bread. Then, in the trance, you looked up at the clock, which now really said 20:03, and in an instant you came out of the trance and blacked out everything you'd done in the preceding 3 hours. What had happened was that you'd concertinaed all the events before the blackout into only 2 hours and 40 minutes. So it would seem as if they'd taken 5 hours and 40 minutes, therefore giving yourself a sort of alibi for the period of the blackout.
Oh, God, I never thought of that. I never heard of that before. Oh, my God, that's shaking me. I haven't felt so shaken since before I had the revelation, when I had all those doubts, all that sense of insecurity. Oh, it's all coming back. Not knowing anything, not being able to make any decision, not knowing what I wanted. But the revelation solved all that and brought me certainty. Now what he's just said brings the doubts rushing back after all those years. Oh, the pain. What can I say? What can I argue? How can I come to him? There has to be an answer. I mean, I can't stand this, but...
Am I talking a load of nonsense?
But what you're suggesting is so implausible. I mean, how could I concertina 5 hours and 40 minutes into 2 hours and 40 minutes without noticing it? I would have had to gallop through everything I did.
Oh, sticky one. Ah, but not too sticky. No, time is subjectively elastic. The time we feel an activity is taking and the time it's objectively taking are often very different.
That's true.
Is it true?
Oh, my God, perhaps he's right. What can I say? But what you're saying is so implausible.
Well, not more implausible than claiming that God intervened in your kitchen. But is it, though?
He can't be right, can he? I've got to counter him. Well, suppose for a moment, I mean, just for the sake of argument, that such states are sort of psychological. That doesn't mean that they can be inherited.
Oh, dear. I can see what's coming. Of course they can be inherited, like anything else can be inherited.
Then why haven't you inherited the capacity for them?
Well, how do you know that I haven't? I haven't, have I?
I don't know that he hasn't.
But I must have.
I don't think you have, but I don't know.
You don't know? Neither do I. Oh, come on, write your brains.
Oh, I think I do. I only think I do.
Write your brains. Ah, Shazam, I've been half asleep. Well, I know better. I used to do a lot of sleepwalking when I was a kid.
Sleepwalk?
Yes, I used to sleepwalk. And what happened in your kitchen was sleepwalking, writ large. The same kind of psychological state. We share the same tendency, and I inherited it from you.
Sleepwalking has nothing in common with what happened to me. Has it, though?
Hasn't it? Have I got it all wrong?
I mean, I've never had any strange psychological experiences, either before my revelation or after it. I mean, I've never gone sleepwalking or had trances or seen anything odd. I mean, my revelation stands out as something completely unique in my experience. I mean, it belongs to a different sort of dimension when compared to everything else. And I mean, in no way can it be reduced to psychological terms.
Maybe what she says is all true. Maybe she was given her identity by God.
Well, I think that's a delusion.
A delusion? Am I hiding things from myself? I mean... Perhaps identities can be inherited.
I don't like this.
Oh, this is terrible.
I don't like it at all.
Still, don't let him see that I'm disturbed.
I must try to hide the worry from her.
Have I made any impression on him?
I haven't made any impression on her.
Well, all this is really sort of rather academic, and it's not getting us anywhere. I mean, you'll be leaving here in about a week to go and stay with your father, and so I'd really like to suggest that for the last few days you might stay out of the bakery and sort of think about things.
Are you saying I'm no longer welcome here? Oh, what a pity. The love I was looking for hasn't developed.
No, when you've thought things over and after you've spent some time with your father, you can return here to live or to live or to work or to do whatever you like.
Well, perhaps she still sees some hope of us developing an affection. I must make sure she realises I feel the same way.
Yes, well, listen, you know, I'd still like things to develop between us. I mean, I'd still like us to get on, well.
Yes, well, so would I, but will you please think about what I've said and keep out of the bakery next week?
Yes, all right.
Oh, he's really shaken me. All those doubts have gone flooding back. I mean, have I been deluding myself all these years? Oh, I don't know. I can't have been... But perhaps I have. I don't know. Oh, come on. Meditate. Yes, I've got to get out of this agitated state of mind and then I'll be able to see things more clearly. Yes, come on. I'll meditate.
Am I wrong? Is she right? Oh, she can't be. Oh, I don't know. She can't be. I need to calm down, then I'll see that I'm right. I've got to be right, yes. I'm going to stay with me dad soon, yeah, think about that. Yeah, I'll soon see what I have in common with him, and me affinities with him will clinch me Kate, of course they will.
I'll see that heredity is the answer, and I'll find love. Forget about Karen's weirdo ideas. Concentrate on me dad. Yes.
Would you like a drop more tea?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mrs. Clapcott.
Nay, call me Ada.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Ada.
You mean in all? I wouldn't say no to another.
All right, one at a time.
Ta.
Are you sure you don't want ourselves to eat, Gavin?
Oh, no, thanks, I'm fine.
Another piece of parking?
No, thanks.
Well, you know what you want.
Right.
Well, I'll just go and wash the dishes.
Well, now, Gavin, if it's not a... I mean, now you're here, what do you want to...
I want to know what you do, see what you do, become involved in what you do.
Well, you know, I'm an active member of the Transport and General Workers Union.
Yes.
And a member of the Communist Party.
I didn't know that. Maybe I'm a politician, a great statesman, a revolutionary, somebody to shake up society. Well, I want to get involved.
You're already a member of TNG from Prusas.
Oh, yes, but I want to become active. I want a joint Communist Party.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Excellent.
Aye.
Thanks. Well, what are we going to talk about now?
Well, what's to say now?
I can't just plunge straight into communism. I
can't just blurt out like, how did you get on with your mother?
I know. Well, you got quite a few records.
One or two.
Probably pop or pop classical.
There's no there to interest him. No punk.
You like music?
Well, a certain type.
What's that?
Well, jazz.
Jazz? Trad, I'll bet.
Aye. You think I mean Ackerbilk.
Can I have a look?
Sure.
Bugger me! Charlie Parker.
That's right.
Bird!
Yes. Has he heard a bird?
You like Bird?
I do.
Can he possibly? Well, so do I.
Is it possible?
I mean, he's one of my favourite musicians.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Bob, I mean, that's my favourite style out of the older jazz.
Is he trying to con me?
Oh, this is wonderful. I can hardly believe it. We have jazz, Bob, Bird in common.
Is he just trying to invent some connection?
You've got jazz at Massey Hall.
Ah.
A terrific record.
Anybody can read a cover, pretend they've heard what's inside.
I used to have it.
Oh, aye. Give him a bit of a test. At this time, we would like to play...
a tune that was composed by my worthy constituent, Mr. Dizzy Gillespie, in the year of 1942.
We sincerely hope you do enjoy...
Salt peanuts!
He knows. His interest must be genuine.
Oh, great. You got Fast Navarro.
Aye.
Dexter Gordon.
Aye.
Blakey. Mingus.
Aye.
Oh, Ace.
Aye, I'll play some of it.
Oh, yes, please. This is marvellous. Couldn't be better. Can't be a coincidence. I mean, jazz, bop, bird. I must have got it from him. Oh, this is a lot better than with Karen. I can see immediately we have something very special in common. I can see immediately he is my real father. Oh, we'll develop a great bond. I'll find the lovely I've always wanted from a parent. Oh, this has got to work out, really work out. There's no mistake here. I've found what I've been looking for. Wilf,
yeah?
In British Road to Socialism, it says that in a socialist Britain there'd be freedom for all democratic parties, including those hostile to socialism.
Huh.
Well, how does that square with the idea of dictatorship at proletariat?
Are you sure that you really want to join the Communist Party?
Of course I am.
Well, Gavin, you know, I mean, unless you understand the party's programme as outlined in British Road, you'll not be accepted for membership.
Oh, I know that.
But you've read it time after time. I've taken you to branch meetings. You've listened to lectures on Marxism. You've read books. You've asked me questions after question. You never seem to grasp, I mean, even most basic essentials.
Well, you know, I'm never really at my best in what might be called exam situations. I mean, give me time.
That's what you keep on saying.
Well, you know,
I think it's time I explained something. I told you something about my experience. Well, me and Karen, she wanted sex as much as I did, maybe more. There was no force involved, and then afterwards, she dismissed me. She'd had an exotic little adventure that had served me purpose. It's really been a mistress-servant relationship. Well, her rejection of me made me feel like dirt, really made me feel inferior, because my job at that time, it was very lowly, operating a machine that turned out skewers. Anyway, when I were 18, I had to do my national service, and that only served to emphasise the difference in rank, status between people. After that, a string of dead-end jobs in engineering, badly paid, although I was looking for something better, until I found myself out of work completely dejected. Because I were in such a vacuum, I started to read. You know, seriously. Real books for the first time. And to put it in a nutshell, I discovered socialism. I discovered that I lived in a system that could be understood and changed. I discovered that identity, I mean, individual identity is a product of an economic system. The economic system in which the individual lives. I mean, parental conditioning plays a big part in a child's early life, but parents only reflect in an individual way the larger economic and social factors at work in society. I came to realise that the present system creates a good life for a few and a stunted existence for the many. And if you want to change your identity, you've got to change the system. I decided that was what I wanted to do. I dedicate myself to that. That task would become my identity. So I joined the Communist Party, and I joined the TNG. And after I'd been in them a couple of years, it came to my attention that the workers at Bruce's were completely unorganized. Unions were forbidden in the kingdom of C.M. Bruce. I decided that here was a mission for me. I managed to get a job at Bruce's in basement, in cellars. And after a while, I managed to persuade about a dozen or so workers to join a TNG and elect me their shop steward. Of course, when Mr. Bruce, when he heard about this, he fired me. But I was prepared for that. I'd created a bit of a storm in the local press. I managed to get some of the more intelligent workers at Bruce's to come out on strike. And through the party and the TNG, I managed to get a lot of other local union support. Well, all this began to damage Bruce's efficiency. He began to lose orders. So he backed down. He was forced to reinstate me and allow anybody who wanted to join the TNG. But as you know, I was only back on sufferance. And ever since, Bruce and his management have done everything they can to frustrate every improvement the members of the union have fought for. It's been a history of slow gains made against continual pressure. Pressure to reduce the gains we've already won. But I've never lost my ideals, my principles. I've never lost sight of the ultimate goal, the complete transformation of society, the establishment of a true democracy, true economic, political and social equality. What I'm saying to you, Gavin, is my experience has made me into a socialist. I am what I've experienced. And if your experience hasn't made you want to be a socialist, then there's no way you'll ever be a socialist. And it's no use pretending to be a socialist just because you'd like to be like me.
Another argument against heredity. Oh, I sensed he felt something like that. I can't go along with it, can I? No, I can't. No more than I can go along with what my mother said. Oh, she gave me something to think about, didn't she? Yes. But get off that. I don't want to think about that now. One thing at a time. And what about this? What about what we've just said about politics? Well, he's right. I have no aptitude. I can't go on trying to pretend I have, but why haven't I? Well, perhaps there's something in me that cancels out political inclination. Perhaps something that came from my mother. Oh, I don't know, but... Well, I don't have to have inherited every trait from Will to be like him, do I? No, of course I don't. So you put everything down to experience?
I do. Everything of any importance.
Well, I think that heredity is what matters most.
I know he thinks that. You believe, but he can't bother me, that major personal characteristics bother me. A person, can he? From one generation to another. No, he can't bother me. Through genes.
I do.
Without any environmental considerations whatsoever.
That's right.
Well, it seems to me that you and me, we should provide a very good test case for your argument.
What do you mean?
I mean that except for a very, very slight acquaintance of Bruce's, we've never had any contact at all recently.
That's true.
So I can't have influenced you.
No.
In an environmental sense.
Well, you can't.
So, I mean, if there are any significant traits in common between us, they must have been genetically passed on.
That's absolutely right.
I'm glad you agree.
What's he up to?
Because the fact that you and me have naught in common, that proves your theory is wrong. I'd like to see him argue his way out of that one.
I'm ready for him. I can easily answer that. Oh, no! Our lack of contact proves opposite. Significant traits we have in common, I must have inherited.
We have no significant traits in common.
Oh, yes, we have.
What?
Well, for a start, Bebop.
Bebop?
Aye.
A lot of folk like Bebop.
No, they don't. A relatively large number like jazz in general, but bebop's a very special sort of jazz.
He's right. There aren't many who... There's only other bloke near here who goes in for bop. Wait a minute. That backs up my point. A special sort of jazz, yeah, but if two people, they have a taste for it in common, that's a coincidence. The conditioning, whatever gave them a taste in first place, it'll be different in each case. I mean, round here, the only other bloke who likes Bob, he's a member of the National Front. He and me are poles apart in every other way. Couldn't be more different. I'd shoot him for his political opinions, but save his life for his musical taste.
How do I answer that?
Well, sometimes a common taste may be a coincidence, and sometimes it may not be.
Oh, very limp.
I'll go around that. Easy enough. Just a diversion. And then now to really get him. To put the boot in, as you might say. I can't see as how you inherited anything from me, whereas Phil, the other son, who grew up with me, but he has a lot in common with me.
Has Phil got a lot in common with him?
Phil's trained to be an engineer, and I was an engineer. He's mechanically minded, just like I am, whereas you're not mechanically minded, not at all.
No, I'm not. This is very dangerous.
And Phil's keen on sport, just like I am.
I'm not interested in sport. He's right. I'm done for.
And Phil's temperament is very similar to mine.
It is. That's it. The clincher. I'm dead. Phil's reliable and steady, and he joins in, and he's... No! Me demise is premature. Phil doesn't join, not when it matters.
All that might be true, but where's his card?
Card?
His membership card.
For what?
Well, for out. For party, for union. Phil's not interested in politics, not at all.
Damn it, that's true.
Not in slightest.
What can I... Well, he's young.
Not younger than a lot of members of YCL. Or T&G.
He's got me, he has. Well...
And if you're talking about learning from his parents' example, he should have a double ration of political interest, because his mother's political as well.
I've risen from the dead! Ha ha! He's making a strong point, very strong. But surely there can't be aught in his ideas. I mean, I've had my doubts about my beliefs from time to time over years, but the strength of my convictions has always enabled me to push such doubts aside, push them aside with ease. But now, this, I mean, why hasn't Phil...
Have I made any impression on him?
I mean, if folk don't get their politics from experience, if folk can inherit political positions, there's no hope for the world. Born a fascist, remain one. You'd never be able to persuade anybody, change anybody. Oh, surely that can't be. Can it? I need time to think. Move him on. Well, apart from that, one thing, Phil and me, we have a great deal in common, whereas you and me, well, the only thing you can cite is Bop, Bebop, and that's not much to base a theory on.
I'm ready for this. Oh, yes, I've kept it up my sleeve.
No, there's something even more important than Bebop that we have in common.
Bluff, it's got to be. Oh, aye.
We have a quest in common.
A what?
A quest.
I don't follow.
We've both undertaken quests.
Quests?
Aye. It was my quest for identity which brought me here.
I suppose so.
And your quest for identity which led you to the Communist Party.
I won't call that a quest.
Oh, no, you wouldn't, but a quest, nevertheless, is what it was.
I just blundered along for years.
Ah, but you were looking for something.
I never thought of it in that way. He could be right.
We've both made quests for our identities.
Well, even if we have, it's no proof of inheritance. Lots of folks search for something to give their lives meaning.
No, they don't. Not like we did. Search for an answer and find one, that's very rare. I mean, a lot of folk pretend to look when they're young, but they soon give up. Few really search and few find an answer.
Maybe it is remarkable that he and I should share such a... I haven't known many folk who... It is a rare thing to do. Maybe what he says does challenge my... Oh, damn it, I can't put what he says aside, brush it away. He can't be right, though, can he? Oh, come on, I need time to think. Well, I don't really... know about that.
Have I managed to get through to him at all?
Have I had any effect on him? I don't know. Come on. Well, we could argue toss all night. What I want to say is, think about what I've said. Give it some, please, try not to be under Ada's feet all the time, and maybe go out a bit more. Find other... Don't be so obsessed with what I do. Give me a bit more time with me other children.
He doesn't love me, does he? I don't think he can. I shouldn't think he even likes me. After all my hopes, I've got to face the possibility that he's just been tolerating me.
All right. I'm sorry I've been such a nuisance.
Hey, no, you haven't been a nuisance. You've just been a bit over-eager.
Not an answer to give me much reassurance. Is he just doing everything out of some sense of duty? Is that what Karen's doing? Do they like me? Do they think they could ever love me? Oh, I don't know, but... questions leave a big vacuum inside me. I still want to love them, don't I? Oh, I do. Oh, I feel so disappointed. better ask him how he feels. Oh, no, on top of everything else, I feel embarrassed to ask him. But I feel so empty, alone, bereft, bereft.
Well, I won't be over-eager from now on.
I won't be able to. I won't even be able to reach under-eager.
A nuisance. He has been a nuisance, more than a... Not in the way he meant. He's got right under my skin. Inheritance versus economics. Nature versus nurture. I haven't thought about that old argument for years. I wanted to, I've needed to, but now... Oh, this is just a subjective indulgence. I don't need to waste time on this. I know what I believe.
I'm thoroughly confused. Heredity, environment, God-given, they all cancel each other out. I mean, I've got qualities in common with Karen and Wilf, and things not in common with Karen and Wilf. And both sets of qualities can be explained in any or either of three different ways. Maybe we're all a product of some mixture of the three. Would that be possible? Would that be probable? What use would that be to me? How do you disentangle one strand from another? How long would it take? A lifetime? A lifetime to disentangle your lifetime? You'd be dead before you managed to unwind the first 10 minutes. Oh, screw it. I seem to know less now about myself than I did before I started looking for my real parents. Real parents? I might have as much in common with Bagley's as I do with Karen and Wilf. I mean, if conditioning's so important, they might be me real parents, me real parents. Maybe I did them a grave injustice. Maybe I did Bagley's a grave injustice. If conditioning is so important, if. I mean, I don't know. How am I going to find out who I come from? Where I come from, who I am, what I want to do?
Things his head keeps sort of nagging away at me, and I've lost my serenity. I've tried everything I know to try to regain my composure, but it's all been to no avail. I can't get back my certainty. I mean, I can't say I no longer believe at all, but I no longer completely believe in the way that I used to, and that's taken the drive out of things, and the spirit's no longer completely in the work here, and...
These doubts that the nut is doing, he were only catalysts. What if folk are born slaves, bosses, artists, bank managers, criminals, good, bad? Oh, I don't know. Some things are conditioned, but others, oh, I don't know. What am I going to do about Gavin? What are we going to do about Gavin? What's Gavin going to do? I think we three, Gavin, me and Karen, I think we should meet. So, there you are. What's it to be?
Before I answer that, let me ask you a question.
Right.
No... Ask you both a question.
Of course.
Well, apart from any sense of obligation or duty, what do you feel about me?
Feel about you?
Yeah.
Really, what do you...
What do I?
Yes, what do you...
No, what do you...
What I?
Yes.
Well, I don't dislike you, I don't know.
Do you like me?
Do I like you?
I positively like
you. Well, no, I can't say as I do. Not like you, neither like you nor dislike you. I don't know what I feel. It's difficult to describe.
Karen, I mean...
Well, I suppose I sort of feel the same way.
See.
I'm sorry, but I can't really say anything else.
No.
But tell me, what do you feel?
About you?
About us?
Yes.
Well, I've got to be honest, too. I guessed you both feel the way you do some time ago. At first, I felt really bad about it. I thought I had a great need and a great potential to love you, but then I realised that it wasn't really a potential. It was no more than a wish. And I had to look at the way I really actually feel. Well, no, I can't say I feel anything for you. I mean, not anything I can put my finger on. Even though I've spent so much time with you, you still seem like strangers. I mean, you seem more like strangers than people do I've just bumped into casually.
I know what you mean.
Do you?
It's as though this business of us being your biological parents is as though it's got in way. It's got in way of us having any sort of real relationship at all.
Yes.
Yes, I think so. Perhaps if we sort of met without that sort of being the case, you know, in other circumstances, we might have become friends.
Or enemies.
Well, yes.
And that applies to you and me as well.
You mean to me, you and me?
If Gavin had never, we might have met later in different, we might have been somewhat to each other.
If only enemies.
If only enemies.
Yes, a sort of biological connection seems to have actually come between us and got in the way of anything further.
And the same can be said of my relationship with you both.
Ah.
Yes.
I mean, I realised that I was mistaken that I could discover who I am by finding me blood parents and... Yeah, I want to apologise to you both for intruding into your lives and for being such an affliction.
Oh, there's no need for that.
Yes, I think there is. I'm sincerely sorry.
Oh, no.
No, I shot into your lives like a nasty little black comet, a sizzling bit of coke out of nowhere. I put you through a bad time and it was none of it any fault of yours.
Oh, no, you did what you felt you had to.
You did what you thought right.
Now. Well, that's very generous of you.
No.
I mean, I disrupted your lives and I'm very sorry for it, but... Now I'm going to take myself off. I'm going to get out of your way. I'm going to take myself out of your life.
Oh, you mean completely?
Yes, I shall pack up my stuff tonight and be off.
And we shan't see you again?
No.
Where will you go?
Oh, I don't know.
Up again?
No, except to say goodbye to my grandmother.
I see.
Yeah, I'll do that and then I'll vanish.
Vanish?
Vanish. Vanish from your world. Your worlds. Vanish even more rapidly than I appeared, so it'll be as though I never was, so it'll be as it was. So you'll be able to take up your lives once again, as they were before I disrupted them. And so it'll be as though I'd never passed through.
A psychological interpretation of my revelation. Oh, if that's true, then my whole experience of God, my whole life of spirituality is no more than some sort of emotional quirk. I mean, no more than merely some sort of neurosis, which might just as easily have led me to throwing bombs rather than to baking bread. And there's no moral sense at all in what one does. And there's nothing, what's the word, yes, teleological in one's life pattern, if one can call it a pattern at all. I mean, if we are only the heirs of our foremothers and forefathers, then we simply get a thrown together selection of what they had, rather like a sort of grim jumble sale. Yes, a self-contradictory and painful jumble in which any sort of purpose, any sort of divinity must be cancelled out by some sort of non-purpose. Oh, I can't bear that. I must have a belief. Yet I can't believe in anything anymore. I mean, I don't know whether God exists or whether he sent me a sign, but I can no longer believe, and I'm filled with doubt. Yet I can't continue without a purpose. And unless I believe, I can't go on with the mission here at the bakery, and I can't go on living. I mean, the anguish of doubt and disappointment is so intense. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? There's nothing I can do. I can't survive without a purpose and without light, without hope and all in the dark. And so the only thing is to kill myself. Yes, that is the only thing I can do. It'll be hard on Madeline. Oh, poor Madeline. But what use am I to her like this? And she'll have the bakery. She'll have her faith. Yes, the only thing I can do is to kill myself.
My darling Madeline, when your eyes read this, I shall be dead and you will know that I am dead. I lost my faith and had no reason to believe that it would ever return, and without faith I could see no purpose in going on living.
Oh, no. Why? 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 Unless I believe, I can't go on with the mission here at the bakery, and I can't go on living. I mean, the anguish of doubt and disappointment is so intense. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Is there anything I can do? I mean, what is it that I really need? Well, a sign, another sort of sign from God. Yes, that's what I need. Could I ask God for a sign? I mean, a sign that in no way could be reinterpreted, in no way could be explained away. Yes, I could ask for a miracle. Something to do with bread. I could put a certain number of loaves in the oven and ask God to increase the number.
Time to put these loaves in?
Right.
What time do you make it?
6:31 exactly.
Yes, 6:31. How many loaves are there on this tray?
You loaded it.
Yes, I didn't sort of completely fill it because there wasn't quite enough dough, but there should be 20. I mean, let's count them.
Do we need to?
Well, I think so.
Really?
Yes, it'd be sort of...
Okay. 5, 10, 15, 20.
Sure.
That's all.
Good, yes. Well, I count 20 as well. Shall we put them in the oven? Time for them to come out. No one's tampered with the oven, and I've kept in contact with Madeline the whole time, talking to her. Oh, please, God. Please, God, let there be something for me. Madeline?
Yeah?
I think it's sort of time to take the bread out of the oven.
Is it?
Yes, it's 7:15.
Oh, so it is. Okie doke. Good pong.
Yes.
Good pong's good bread. Look right.
Yes. Oh, my Lord. Thump, thump. Come on, look. Count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I can't believe it. 21. Madeline?
What's up?
How many loaves did we count on this tray before we put them in the oven?
20.
You sure?
Sure, I'm
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely sure.
Absolutely. What's the matter?
Count them again.
5, 10, 15, 20. I thought, 21.
21?
Yes. No, 21.
You're certain there are 21?
Well, definitely, no doubt.
And there were 20 before?
Without a doubt.
And between putting them in and taking them out, nobody opened the oven?
Of course not. Nobody could have.
Oh, darling Madeline, this is a miracle.
Miracle?
Yes, a miracle. I asked God to add a loaf to the tray whilst it was in the oven, and he's done so. I mean, how else could it have got there?
I'm stumped.
It has to be a miracle.
My God. I suppose so. It has to be. It has to be.
Oh, the sun's burst out again in all its radiance, and I feel renewed, reborn. Because I am, I'm reborn, reborn.
Thread's just been on phone again.
There's a union meeting tonight. It's very urgent, and they really would like you to attend. That business at Thrush Mill's come up again. They don't know what to do, and they need your opinion.
Well, I can't go.
Why?
I'm ill.
Well, you're not ill.
Well, I don't feel like going.
Well, you tell them, then. I'm jaded to back teeth for doing your dirty work for you. You're off work, you won't attend meetings, you just mope about. Folk keep calling, and you won't even answer the phone. I'm fed up of making excuses, saying you're not well. In future, you can tell them yourself.
Tell them? Why should I tell them anything? Tell anybody anything? Why should I do anything? I can't be when everything's so chaotic, meaningless, bleak. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Oh, I resign from party. Resign from union. Get over we, and at least it won't pester me. I'll go to this union meeting tonight and tell them I'm resigning. Then I won't be bothered by them. Then they'll leave me alone.
Even stand up. This is it. I told you. This is it. I warned you. You're coming dead drunk one more time. I'm not for good. Well, last night was that one more time.
Ooh,
I can't take any more. I told you.
Oh, but why?
You're not very well. Why? This has been going on for months, ever since you've resigned from politics. You've just gone from bad to worse. You've no job. You don't do art. You don't eat. You don't even get washed. All you do is drink, drink, drink.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no. Stop it. It's not just the drink and dirt, it's the defeatism. You're not the man I married, the man I used to know, the man I used to respect. Oh, nah, would you not? I've tried to understand, but I can't. What you allowed to happen to you is a disgrace. It's no behaviour of a responsible member of society. You've not only let me down in your family, but you betrayed your own great ideals and you betrayed the working class movement. I can't live with that. I don't want to be tainted with that, so I'm off and I shan't be back.
Well, let me wait a minute.
No, I'm off.
Who cares? I don't give a damn. Not a damn. I'm going down the slippery. What else is there to do? I'm dying. Decaying. Here. Where's that sodding boot on? Rotting away. Rotting rot. Why should I tell them anything? Tell anybody anything? Why should I do anything? I can't be with everything so chaotic, meaningless, bleak. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Go on, Liney. I don't know. It's so boring. But what isn't? Oh, I'll get up, go out. Nowhere to go, but I'll go out. Plod, plod, plod along the street. Plod, plod, plod. What a drag. Not interested in old. The sun, the dogs, the gardens. Don't even see it. Not going anywhere. Plod, plod. Nowhere to go. When I've plodded nowhere, I'll plod back to the house. Another nowhere. Plod, plod. I don't want to go to this union meeting tonight. I'd even resign. Plod, plod. Still, if I went, I'd be going somewhere. I'd have something to do. Not much, but something to do. Hold on. Something to do. It would be something to do, going to that meeting. However meaningless, something to do. And that's better than not at all. I'll plod to that meeting tonight. And when I get there, shall I resign? Or shall I plod on? I mean, without conviction. Plod by plod, item by item. As things come up, folks still need help. Whatever their providence, there's a frightening lot of suffering in the world. By God, there is. There is that. All over the world. All round me, here, and getting worse, daily getting worse. Can I stand back and do naught? Because philosophically, possibly naught can be done, naught can be changed. No! Even if change is impossible, I must behave as though it is possible. I don't have to have any laws of history on my side. What does it matter if the world can't be explained? I've just got to go on plodding. We have banners, we have glory. I'll plod on. I'll not resign from party, from union, from life. I'll plod back home. I'll talk to Ada. Then I'll plod, plod into Thrush Mill's manning level dispute.
Here I am. These famous stones have stood some 3,000 years. That's what the label says. Does the blood of the builders run in my veins? When I were looking for my blood parents, I used to think so. When I were looking for the more immediate blood that runs through my veins, I used to think of me yet-to-be-found parents as my personal Stonehenge. Me own standing stones. Solve their mystery and I'd solve me own. Find out how they stood and I'd find out how I stood in relation to them. But here I stand, a mystery and therefore a misery. Totally bewildered, totally depressed. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I've got an allowance. I can go anywhere. But where would I go? I don't want to go anywhere. I'd be wretched and lost. Oh, completely lost amongst the unfamiliar. The unfamiliar, yes. Well, at least my prison state is quite familiar. Oh, only too familiar. I feel exactly the same as I did before I started on my quest. I may be standing and looking at Stonehenge, but inside I'm right back in Bailiff Bridge, aye. Well, I might as well return there. At least I know folk there. They are familiar. And Bagley's are as likely to be me real parents as anybody else's. Well, it'll be start, but I've no alternative. I'll return to Bagley household.
No, you don't go round there to get there.
You do.
No, you don't.
Of course you do.
Oh, you do.
What are you putting your fillings in for?
I'm agreeing with you.
No, you're not.
He is.
He isn't.
I am.
Who asked you to agree with me?
Nobody did.
Then pack it in.
All right, pack it in.
I'm just stating my opinion.
We don't want to hear your opinion.
No, we don't.
Your opinions are worthless.
They are that.
You have no idea about how.
Of course I have.
You haven't.
I have.
You haven't.
I have.
You have no idea how to get there.
And neither have you.
Of course I have. You go round there to get there.
No, you don't go round there.
Then where do you go?
The other way.
What other way?
Opposite way.
What opposite way?
Opposite way round.
Here I stand. A mystery, and therefore a misery. Totally bewildered, totally depressed. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I'm standing here like an idiot, staring at these stones. What the hell am I up to? Standing, staring at stones. Well, out of all the confusion, I can be certain of that. I can see stones, some standing, some tilted, some perched on top of others. I'm a man standing looking at stones. Yeah, that's me. And if I turn, I'm a man looking at fields, trees. And now I'm a man staring at stones again. Well, that's a certainty, yes, but it's such a limited certainty. I mean, surrounding that tiny certainty is the enormous uncertainty of everything else. Oh, wait a moment, that's not about certainty. As I stand here, I can be just as certain I don't know who I am as I can be certain I'm looking at these stones. Yes, that's another certainty. The certainty of my uncertainty. My uncertainty is standing here. My confusion is here. Now, yes, now. Whatever I am is now. I don't need the past to explain the now. What is now. What does it matter what concoction of influences brought me to the present moment? Yes, my presence here, my being here, is somehow much more, somehow beyond all possible explanations or possible permutations. I'm not defined by any possible description of me. Gavin likes soup, Gavin likes jazz, Gavin comes from Brickhouse, Gavin is kind, Gavin is cruel, Gavin is a genius. Are any of these me? The, what I really am me? No. They're qualifications, they aren't the substance. I'm more than qualifications. I'm the spaces between the qualifications, yes, yes. But that still leaves me with a problem. I am spaces, but spaces are elusive. What do spaces want to do? Well, what can they do? Only two things, really. I can do what I want to do, or I can do what I don't want to do. Well, I don't want to do what I don't want to do, do I? No, I don't. So, I'm going to do what I want to do. I am, but what do I want to do? I mean, that's always been my problem. Well, just do what you feel like doing, whatever it is. Don't ask why, don't ask questions. Just do, do. And when I've had enough of these stones, I'll turn. Put one foot in front of the other and go wherever my feet take me. Let one want lead to another, one at a time, until a time comes, if it comes, a time comes, when I want something more extended. A vocation, yes, it'll come. It won't be me, but it'll come from inside me, yes. I can wait for it to come. I can stand here looking at Stonehenge, and perhaps Stonehenge stands there looking at me. I'm a sort of henge, a flesh henge. Plastic henge, tube henge, spaces henge. I'm made up of holes and spaces like a sponge. Sponge henge. That's me. I am a sponge henge. Yeah, I suppose all human beings are sponge henges. Interconnections of holes and spaces and relationships are also sponge henges. Mysteries, yes, but existence. Existence. That's the important thing. Existence requiring no elucidation to maintain their validity. You might say, yeah, all human race is a sponge henge. A gigantic sponge henge, aye. All of us are it, and it is all of us. Yes, I am a sponge henge. Gavin Sponge Henge. I found myself beside the stones. I turn, I move my right foot, I move my left, I walk, I smell the air. I move towards the road, towards whatever. I am infinite. Oh, what can I do? Oh, what can I do? Oh, what can I do?
Oh, what can I do? Oh, what can I do? Oh, what can I do?
Oh, what can I do? Oh, what can I do? Oh, what can I do?
Oh, what can I do? Oh, what can I do? Oh, what can I do?
In Spongehenge by David Halliwell, Gavin Bagley was played by Nigel Anthony, Karen Mason by Anna Cropper, and Wilfred Clapcott, Anthony Dowse. Mr. Bagley, John Bott. Mrs. Bagley, Alex Marshall. Albert Appleyard, Colin Douglas. And the landlord, David Halliwell. Mrs. Waddington, Gabrielle Day. Mrs. Pelling, Catherine Parr, Madeline, Teresa Stretfield, Ada Clapcott, Jean Trend, and the coach passenger, James Kerry. The play was directed by Peter King.